Welcome back. I trust that was sufficiently curious, fun, and just generally adding some spice to the time that we are in. I'm delighted to have Meryl here with me. We just kind of thought, you know, this is the third weekend. The sense of adrenal and excitement and curiosity of what it would all look like has worn off, I think, and we're all facing the realities of what life is like right now. We were Zooming with family in South Africa yesterday, and some of them are in a pretty harsh lockdown where they literally are not allowed to leave their apartment or their home. With little kids, can you imagine the challenge of that? They need permission to go to the grocery store. And so for those of us in America, it's still pretty light. However, it is quite a sobering moment of what on earth is going down. So Meryl and I thought we'd just chat a little bit around the things that we feel are pertinent and true to us as a community. And we'll start, as always, with the scripture. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 15 with me. I'm going to draw out a few verses, and then Meryl and I are going to jump in with some of the things that we think are quite pertinent in our conversation. Romans chapter 15, and I am reading from the NIV, the UK version. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good. What a moment to live out the idea of the common good rather than just preoccupied with ourselves. Paul carries on. To build them up, and even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance taught by the Scriptures, if there ever was a time when we need to be grounded and rooted and established in the text, it's certainly at such a time as this. Not just endurance, but the encouragement that the Scriptures provide, we might have that hope. And then skedaddle down to verse 12. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles have their hope. May the God of hope, may the God of all hope, one of the translations said, fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Last night we were having some curry for dinner, Meryl, Tion, and I, and we tuned in to our son-in-law and daughter in Perth, Australia, and their service. Mark was talking about Daniel and his friends who were thrown into the flames, and he said, I think I'm pretty accurate in my quote, they had faith in God outside the fire, but they found fellowship with God in the fire. I thought that was sublime. Faith outside the fire, fellowship with God in the fire. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. What a time for the many to take ownership of this great adventure of faith. Yet I have written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again. What a great time to remind each other of the great God words, the great God ideas recorded in the text. Because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, and he gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God. All priests have this wonderful opportunity to share the transformative, life-changing, atoning work of Christ to all, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything. Nothing else matters right now, Paul says, except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by message and model. What I've said, what I've modeled, that is the great ongoing work of Jesus. And by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way to Lakrim, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It was always my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I might not be building on someone else's foundation. Wow, what a text, what a time we live in, everyone. I know to some of us, it affords great creativity and energy and excitement and curiosity, but for others, it's a time of great nervousness and anxiety and depression and fear. And it's I was just thinking of Jesse and Tula on my right here, who came out to holiday here for and meet with some church leaders. And voila, the next minute, Ramaphosa shuts South African gates and they can't get home. I think of our dear friends, Daryl and Sarah. She's in Istanbul. He is in Kyrgyzstan. And they can't get back together as a couple. They have to ride this out in two different spaces. And then Kyle and Kaya, who are in Tunisia, and went out to go and get their visa renewed. And Tunisia closed the door and they weren't able to get back. What incredible times we live in. Phyllis Tickle, in a book called The Great Emergence, has this fundamental idea that every 500 years, the church cleans out its attic and has a giant rummage sale. Now, I've not finished reading the book, so I don't know if I can recommend it, but what an incredible image, she argues, that 500 years ago was Martin Luther and John Knox and this whole bevy of men and women who changed the world entirely, and her prophetic anticipation is, what will it take to pull out of the attic or the garage, if you wish, everything we've bought and kept and not got rid of? And what a time to have a garage sale, to throw out everything we don't need and to allow God to give us a fresh adventure with fresh ideas. However, the psychologists are reminding us wisely and wonderfully that there is some lament taking place. There is some grief happening in the hearts of many. It's the first set of friends we've had this past week who've got the coronavirus, and it looks like they're riding it out. But suddenly it became real and true, not just something that happened to other people in New York and Italy and Iran and so on. And so I just thought it would be great for Meryl to just kind of speak into the whole grief reality that some of you are experiencing. And you know what? I think maybe a word of encouragement and endurance might help at this time. My babe, over to you. And this is wonderful, by the way, because this is not Meryl's happy space. In the informality of what we do, this is not a happy place, so I'm super proud of her stepping in.
I'd much rather be seeing all your faces in front of me, so I'm just trying to picture all your wonderful faces. But what a strange, disorienting time it's been, and how quickly and dramatically it felt like the global kind of situation changed in the world with this pandemic. And a friend of mine at the very early stages said to his mom, you know, the world has as we've known it, has changed. And I thought, oh, that's a bit dramatic. But wow, now I sit and I think, yep, the world that we knew has kind of changed. this week, I have actually really struggled, and it's been a really difficult week. Sorry. And I realized how much I don't like change. Certain change. I like other changes, but there's certain changes I really don't like. And Dave Gibbons said it so well when he said, it's made us anxious because of the uncertainty, the unknown, and the uncontrollable. And wow, we are living in such uncertainty, aren't we, right now? And the loss of normalcy, the loss maybe of economic stability, the loss of community, those have all been real. And some of you students have had to go home, not out of choice. Lost your jobs, which, you know, has been a large part of our community. So we actually are grieving. And there's a cycle of grief, and I think we've all been through it if we think back over the last few weeks. Denial, oh no, this is not gonna be a big deal, you know. Bargaining, well, I'll do it for 2 weeks and then, you know, I'm done. And then sadness, like, wow, this is awful. These people are dying. Then acceptance, that our new norm is we wash our hands a whole lot and we are vigilant about a safe distance norm. And we're getting used to working virtually, which has been, you know, really strange. There's also the what ifs. You know, what if my parents get sick? What if I don't get a job? Lots of uncertainty. And this, you know, this week I had to really just acknowledge that these were some of my feelings. This is what I was feeling, uncertainty, anxiety. And I had tried to stuff it down. The trouble is when you push these feelings that you have down and you try and bury them, you're actually burying them alive. So they're still there and I can guarantee you they're going to pop up somewhere, and usually it's with those closest to you. And then I go into this place of Meryl, you should have more faith. You should be praying more. You should be stronger. You know, and those should, whenever you're having that should conversation with yourself, there's a lot of shame. And who do we know is the author of shame? It's the enemy. And he loves those should conversations. And you become a harsh critic of yourself, and you start being very critical. You devalue all the good, and you go to all the bad place with yourself. And I just realized this week, this is what I would rather we do. Number one, compassion on yourself, with yourself. Just find compassion in God to say, this is where I'm at. And it sucks, but this is where I'm at. And be honest before the Lord and with others. He knows how you're formed. He knows how I'm formed. He knows that I'm made of dust. He doesn't have illusions about me. Then bring it to God. Bring your honest, vulnerable struggles to God and allow the Holy Spirit access to that downcast soul, just like David did. Find his voice above the storm as, was it you preached so wonderfully? Like David in the Psalms.
It was me.
Reach out to others. You know, I know there's a lot of distancing going on, but that doesn't mean you cannot be in community with one another, even if it is just virtual. Ask for prayer. Wendy Pierce is so kind. He said she's available to pray for us. And I just want to say I reached out to her this week for someone, and I should be reaching out to you now, Wendy, for me. But the Psalms then take us to a place of hope, hope in God, just like Chris was saying. That is where our hope comes from. Psalm 42, beautiful psalm to read. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God.
Wonderful, my love. Thank you. I'm sure that helped as well. We've tried to make sense of this time, and it's not easy. It's easy to be busy. It's easy to have programs. It's easy to go virtual. It's easy to do all the IT programs. Those are easy things. What is less easy is to try to put it into a frame. And I found the Praxis Journal, Andy Crouch article, asking a few weeks ago, will this be a blizzard? A couple of weeks, we just got to hang in there, hold tight, and ride out the storm, so to speak. Or will it be a winter, a season of 3 to 5 months? It could be a light winter. It could be a super deep winter. But could it be a winter in which we really are locked indoors for protracted periods of times with all the insecurity and the vulnerability that that brings? Or will it be a mini ice age? And he argues quite amazingly, taking us back to a time where an ice age was set off and the world was colder for longer, an amazing story. So we wrote out the blizzard. And to the Genesis peeps, I just want to say a huge well done. Really, the flexibility, the mobility, the transience, the ability to adapt to this blizzard. And we thought, well, if God chooses to interrupt it and it's short and sharp and transformative, so be it. The communities of 10 have gotten together and done life virtually around Zoom. And generally, it's been an incredibly well-taken moment. But what's become apparent is that it's not going to be a blizzard. It's at least going to be a 3 to 5 month window of a winter season that is quite dramatic. Mark Sayers, we were zooming in with him two days ago. You know him, he's the Australian kind of cultural commentator and author and pastor. And he said the night has fallen, but the dawn will arise. He commented that it would take about 18 months to find a vaccine. So the reality, dear friends, is that we're not out of this until they find a vaccine. There will be waves of the virus coming, diminishing. But until we find a vaccine, which the clever people are working at, we have to find a rhythm to say possibly this could be an 18 plus months experience. But let me just speak as a father for a moment. Isolation does not mean social separation. Please don't lock yourself away. Please don't be vulnerable to your emotions. Those of you who live alone, those of you who may live with unbelieving roommates, it may be, or being an introvert, it may be tempting to just kind of withdraw a little bit, I know Zoom virtual kind of community conversations are a bit awkward and disruptive, but we need each other. I know I was watching the Perth church. They Zoomed in. Everyone Zoomed in so you could see all the faces, and I couldn't. Many I knew, many I didn't know. But it was amazing just to see how they were processing the worship and the stories and Mark speaking. There really is that need to be together. Hey, we all need Will's humor. We need his big hug. We need Stu's accents. We need Sam's joy and energy she brings. We need Dana's bread. We need Joe's love. We need Jesse's food. We need Brian's goofiness. And we need Maddie's smiles. We need those things. But in the interim, it's really important for us to ask two questions. One, what is it about God that he wants to reveal to us during this time of hibernation? Mm-hmm. What is it? I don't know. I was praying into that, and the thing which came to my mind is that verse from Proverbs where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I thought, wow, God wants us to take him seriously. Of course he didn't author this. Of course he didn't start this whole crisis. But there is a sense of sobriety with us. The excessive use of grace, which badly manipulated, means I can do anything and God will forgive me. That isn't heard as often right now. The living of lives that don't reflect Jesus well and a life that is worthy of this gospel, it just doesn't feel right now, because I think God is tapping us on the shoulders with great fatherly love, saying, I am serious. I do want to get your attention. And then the second question is, what do we want our community to look like? When we come out of this in 5 months' time or in 2 years' time, we as a community want to look back and say, how did that five-month window or two-year window, how did it shape us, form us? What did it do in us that makes us so much more beautiful, a bride to Jesus, so much more robust, an army to our commander-in-chief, so much more trim as athletes preparing for the games which lie ahead? And we came up with four big winter training camp ideas, four of them. The first, and I'll just be very brief, the first is a passionate contending prayer. You know, John Mark has been incredibly helpful in offering us some spiritual practices during this time of isolation. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Time does not allow me to go through it here in my notes. But I tell you, there are some things there that will give us rhythm and form so that we don't just lose our way. We don't just eat too much, sleep too much Netflix. We don't just live chaotic lives. We actually find some rhythms of grace and times with our Heavenly Father and hear His voice. We're all busy, aren't we? And that's the wonderful excuse we use that, there's no time to fast or silence and solitude or Sabbath. Well, isn't it amazing we have that now? Every one of us can find the space to do those practices so that at the end of this, we're actually able to say, man, my prayer life is really good. My studying, I've never found so much life in the text. My word is silence and solitude, a gift to me. But on top of that, and I use this phrase, passionate contending prayer, because that's one Mark Sayers used. He said this, every major move of God has been met by two ingredients. One, an external crisis. Two, an internal response of prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think, wow, can you imagine if we have another great awakening or revival or renewal or reformation out of this time, that everyone look back on 2020 and we're all holding our heads saying, oh, gee, I don't want to do this again. But what if 2020 will be known for a global outpouring of His Holy Spirit as men and women from around the world are on their knees crying out to God in holy devotion. Secondly, quickly, a deeper community. I do think that the three spaces Jesus engaged in, one-on-one, one-on-a-few, one-on-many, is very much our common matrix right now. One-on-one, easy to do virtually. One-on-a-few, thank the Lord for Zoom, Skype, FaceTime, all that intimate place. Don't just lock yourself away with your family. They're people who need you. My Father's heart is broken for the church, I must tell you, especially those who are fringe and fragile, students who've gone home to unbelieving families, those who are living alone right now, as Caton did in La Mirada until, I think, Wednesday or something. Man, we need each other at this time. And so the one on few is a little hard work, but so worth it. And then this is our one on many space. What a joy and a privilege that is. We're also doing some fun things. Some of you would have seen Dana. We started a Friday afternoon 3 o'clock session called From the Kitchen Table. And on Friday, Dana taught us how to bake bread. And I've loved all the pictures that have gone around the community of, look at the bread I made, look at the bread I made. We enjoyed one of those for lunch on...
yesterday.
Saturday. Thank you, my love. This Friday, Peter is teaching us how to cook lamb. It's Easter Friday, it's the Passover meal, and so he's going to teach us how to barbecue lamb. What a great moment to celebrate a high point in our Christian calendar with some good old South African lamb cooking. I think that's a pretty cool idea. Prayer Zoom. Once a week, the Skultzers and the Snyders will lead us. I'm sorry, it's a horrible word as opposed to prayer room. I take full responsibility for its idiocy and cliche, but I thought it was pretty cute. We're going to have an open hour of prayer. I believe it's Wednesday. We will confirm that. And they will lead a time of prayer together and prayer for each other. And then, of course, the response team and the exercise, which you saw the video of in just a little bit. Two more quickly, and I'll be as quick as I can, mobilizing the many. It is a magnificent time for all of us to share the load together. Paul writes about us carrying each other's burden. It speaks about us carrying the privilege of uncertainty. I've so enjoyed General Mattis's book, Call Sign Chaos. General Mattis was the Secretary of Defense more recently, and before that, gosh, he held and did about everything you can imagine. But they called him Chaos as his nickname when he was a colonel. And he asked them, why is my name Chaos? And the lieutenant colonel said, kind of, are you sure you want to know? And he said, no, I'd love to know. And rather embarrassingly, Chaos stands for Colonel Has an Outstanding Solution. Well, Colonel has an outstanding, we don't have outstanding solutions. We dearly need each other at this time. None of us have walked this way before. I certainly don't have a prototype or solution. But together we can find the mind of the Lord and know what the next stuttering, stumbling step might be. All right, let me move forward and land fourthly. So it's number one, passionate contending prayer. Number two, deeper community. Number three, that we mobilize the many, everyone plays. And number four, we remain in our lane. One of the prophetic guys in our collective, kind of global reality, said Acts 8, the scattering of the early church is very pertinent to this time. And I've thought about that quite significantly, the scattering of the church. Think about it for a moment. How many have lost their jobs? We estimate about 60% in our community. Others have had 40% of their people lose their jobs, and that means that there could be an economic scattering. What an incredible kingdom opportunity. Those who want to step out and start a business, those who felt like there was a move afoot but maybe were a little timid to go and do that, here it is. Here's the moment. The chaos of a pandemic has triggered many of us to a larger, bigger story with all that the vulnerability brings to us. I was on the phone to Stavros. Stavros is a dear friend in Athens, and he was telling me that he met a man recently who was a Kurdish Muslim, and he was a refugee with his family about to get on a boat from Turkey to go to Greece, and he saw this bright cross on the water, and he felt overwhelmingly restrained not to go. He didn't get on the boat, didn't get on with his family, and he thought, what do I do with it? And stumbled into a church, and as he walked into the building, there was the cross, the exact one he saw. And he bowed a knee to this Messiah. That's what they call him. They don't call him Jesus. They call him Messiah. Interesting. Without any influence of Western Christianity, English Christianity, they now have a church of 200 in Istanbul, Kurdish converts, first generation, brand new, teaching each other. If you save 3 months, you are the old guy. You are the one who knows more than everyone else. And they're sitting on their Persian carpets and cushions, and they're eating their food, and they are loving the Lord, and they're worshiping. Isn't that just the most incredible reality? Yeah. Sarah was telling us about the number of Muslims who have come to a living faith in Jesus because he's revealed himself to them. And now they are, and Stavros was saying the same thing. Europe could well be revolutionized or reformationalized by these refugees who have found Christ, who are super passionate Jesus lovers, and who are now looking and establishing churches on carpets and cushions and wanting to know what it means to walk with this incredible Jesus. These are interesting times. Don't put the lid on possibility. Open our hearts and hands to say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Watching with us today as I land are the Sprinkle family. Amazing family of six. Four of them with Preston and Chris. And we zoomed in last week with the desire, Chris, can you just send some peeps who can do community with us here in Boise, Idaho? And maybe today God's speaking to you. Maybe the Spirit of God is loosening your roots, saying there's an adventure out there. Are you ready? Are you ready to be scattered? Are you ready to be sent out there to be a core anchor person in a new community that's being established somewhere in the nation or the world? What an incredible opportunity. Paul lands Romans 15, not just with the God of all hope, but he says, I long to go and preach the gospel where Jesus is not yet known. What if? Not the what if that Meryl spoke about, but what if this is an opportunity for the gospel to go viral globally? That people pause because the certainty of social structures that they've held on to and cling to are disintegrating around them, just like Babylon or the Leaning Tower of Babel. Now all we have is Jesus. What a moment. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, do you want to switch the time, my love? Father God, I thank you. I thank you for our precious and wonderful community. I thank you for who they are. I thank you for every one of them, from the newest convert, Jesus follower, Jesus apprentice, to those of us who've walked with you for a long, long time. Thank you that for such a time as this, you've joined us together. You've knit our hearts together. You've put us in the same lane together of leadership growth and development and churches being planted around the world. Thank you that you are not a distant, disengaged deity at this time. You are intimately invested with us. You are our God. You are our Redeemer. You are our Empowerer, our Comforter, our King. And I ask, amidst the chaos and the honest vulnerability we've all felt, that Jesus would arise, the redeeming Jesus, the King Jesus, the saving Jesus, the transforming Jesus, the intimate Jesus will arise amongst us, and faith would well up in our saddened, anxious hearts. And the God of all hope will truly be our companion for such a time as this. We, your church, say yes. Even now, come, Lord Jesus, and visit with us. Why don't you take a moment, dear friends, and pray together. Family member with family member, friend with friend, roommate with roommate. Tyler's going to play and just sing a little bit and give us opportunity to let God speak into the big questions. Who am I? Why am I? How am I? And let God take this moment of global cataclysmic pandemic and give us meaning, an assignment, and a privileged part to play in all of this. Thanks, Ty.